Hey, hi, I'm Bonnie. Welcome to this podcast, Make Joy Normal, where we chat about homeschooling and family life. With my co-hosts, Elizabeth and Christina, we address your questions and topics in a way that can create more joy in our lives. Please submit any questions you have by email or voice message in the links in the show notes. If you found this episode valuable, please share it with a friend, like, or leave us a review. That's how we get the word out. Thanks for trying to make joy normal in your own life. I just want to say welcome to all my listeners and welcome to my guest today, Kelly Briggs of Simple Home Mom, whose account I have followed for ages on Instagram. Welcome, Kelly.
Thanks so much for having me again, Bonnie.
Oh, I'm so happy to. We've interviewed before when I first started the podcast, but the other day you posted this, my top seven strategies for a simpler home, and they were really good. And I thought, you know, this time of year when people are kind of trying to get back into routine, trying to get back to school, that this would be a really great reminder. You just have such great ideas and whatnot that you post on Instagram that I just thought, let's do this again. I think it would be really good for us to do this again. But I was hoping that maybe you'd be willing to just share a little bit about yourself and your family before we jump in.
Sure. So I'm from Halifax, Nova Scotia, and we're expecting our fifth baby any second now, really.
A few seconds ago, really, right?
Yeah. I'm always overdue, so we're one day post right now. The makeup of our family, we have three boys and my daughter who's four, and this is another boy. So as you can imagine, our home is very busy, loud, it gets messy. It's a lot of fun here. That's home life, homeschool life. And I also, of course, am on Instagram, and I really just try to get the message across about keeping things simple, especially with chores, because life is really busy, but also to be consistent with them. I'm on there encouraging people almost every day in that. And I also do work in social media too. It sounds like a lot. It is a lot, but it's not, you know, it's not like hours and hours for each thing. It kind of all intertwines together.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, who doesn't want a simpler home? There's nobody saying, I wish my housework was more complicated, right? I wish I could do, you know, just not doing that. So this is a great, you know, sort of business, ministry, you know, whatever you want to call it, support network for people. It's just a great idea. And your ideas are so good. And they're so sort of, I don't know, it's just very attractive, right? Like what you present is very attractive and very simple. And so what I was hoping to do is sort of go through those seven strategies and that you can sort of elaborate on what they are. So the title of this particular post was My Top Seven Strategies for a Simpler Home. So the first one was use go back baskets daily. So why don't you tell us what that is for the newbies?
Go back baskets. I don't know where I even found this idea, but I loved it. It was ages ago, probably on Instagram. Who knows? Right. Somebody just had like a basket and there were just like a video or something of them throwing stuff in it. And I was like, oh, I already do that. I want to be a little bit more intentional with that. At that point in my life, like maybe a couple of years ago, it was just messy. I mean, it's messy no matter what, no matter, you know, how many kids you have or yourself or whatever, there's always mess to be had. So go back baskets are basically baskets that we use to put things in that need to go back to their homes. That's like a word that Marie Kondo says, like, go back to their places, go back to their homes. And we use go back baskets in various ways too. We have go back baskets at the top of our stairs, usually things that need to come downstairs. I try not to let it pile up too much because then it's heavy and then it breaks my basket. But you know, things like I bring up my mug for tea, there's my mug in it, I have to bring it back down, or the kids brought up a couple books. And we also use it on, say, if we're doing a really quick tidy up on the main floor or the rec room, we just take a basket and throw everything in it. And then we work from that. And another way that we use them is maybe separated by kid. So I'll be like, here's Josie's basket, here's Theo's, Felix, and so on. And then they work from that basket and put things away from it. And the last way that I use it, which is probably my favorite, is if we have someone coming over and we're hosting, and I'm like, you know, I just want to clean the toilet and the kitchen counters and that's it, I'll take a basket and be like, throw, take it, throw it in a closet and hide it and close the door, and like, I'll deal with that later. That is my favorite use for go back baskets.
That's interesting, because when we were years ago, when we were selling a house and we were having showing after, it was a soft market, so we had all these showings, and you know, I had five kids at the time, and it was like, how am I going to do this? And I developed a basket system. I basically had a basket in each room. So if we got notification, you know, we're going to be there in half an hour, we're going to be there in 15 minutes. Okay, everybody, just, and I kept a towel in each basket. So we threw everything in there, could be dishes, could be toys, could be whatever. And I would just put the towel over top.
Perfect.
It was a lifesaver because then I wasn't stressing all the time because I knew it was going to be 5 minutes and we could be ready.
Yes. Yeah. It's such a, it's kind of satisfying too to do that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look,
even though you know you have to put it away.
Yeah.
That's the trick to it, isn't it? Like to not let it pile up and to actually, you know, have your time of day that, okay, everything goes away now. Yeah. Yeah. So the second strategy was use loop planning for low stress chores. So define what you mean by loop planning and low stress chores, I think would be a good idea.
Okay. This is a big topic, of course, but I'll try to simplify it. So the way that I use loop chores, firstly, what's a loop? It's literally a loop. So you start at the beginning of a loop and you keep going around it until you get back to the beginning and you start all over again. So the way that I use loop chores is for anything that's like extra chores. I'm not talking about like daily chores, like, you know, get that dishwasher on, get the laundry on, but the extra stuff, like this window behind me needs to be cleaned soon. That probably hasn't been done in a while. But
you
like things like that.
How long we don't?
Well, I don't know. My dad was living in this room, so he didn't do it for 3 years. So probably 3 years. Things like that. Those are the kinds of chores that we don't get to as frequently. Right. Or like I'm looking at a chair right there that needs to be wiped down. So stuff that it's in the like the office, but stuff like that. That is like the extra stuff that can be really overwhelming to us because there's so much of it. So what I do is I loop different areas of my home and I work through them little by little in all the things, not just cleaning, but maybe a little bit of decluttering if an area needs decluttering, maybe a bit of organizing if it needs some attention. And I don't really give myself a time frame for it. So for instance, I've been working on our master bathroom right now, our master bedroom for probably 2 weeks. Like the first while I was doing windows. I don't like doing windows. So I was like, I need to figure out how to do these quicker. And I did. So I'm like proud of myself. And windows and like dusting and like wiping walls and magic eraser on my, you know, Sharpie on our walls. Cause my kids are like, you know, that I have a 4-year-old. So she went through that phase. And I just like this morning, I just wiped down the shelves in our closet. That was one task for today. And I kind of keep going until I feel satisfied with that room or area. And then I move on to the next area in the loop.
So then say 2 weeks that you're in that area, that sort of, say that was item one in your loop. So the stuff we never get to kind of thing.
Yeah.
That then once that's done, so that might take 2 weeks or 5 weeks or however long it takes.
Yeah.
Then you go on to loop two, which is maybe your basement or something like that. And you spend it whatever length of time. Okay. I get it. Yeah. I was sort of picturing what you meant by that.
Yeah.
Was that you had like, say 4 or 5 items in your loop, say for example, you know, toilets and, or, you know, bathrooms and, the foyer, something like that.
Yeah.
And that you just kept bumping day to day, like whatever I get done in this day, great. If I get 2 things done, great. If I get 1 and 2 done, then tomorrow I do 3 and 4, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And it can be done that way too. This is just how I do it.
Yeah.
I was finding like that I just wasn't getting to this kind of stuff. So I had to think of a way to do it that even if I'm super slow, because sometimes I am during different seasons of life, at least I'm still making movement in those areas.
Exactly.
And you know, sometimes it's longer periods. So there's a little bit more cleaning to do, usually like the windows in the front of the house, for instance, but oh, well, you know what? I'm still moving forward and that's good. Yeah. And sometimes I just choose to just organize. Maybe I'm like, forget the cleaning this time around. I'm just going to organize because it's driving me crazy.
Right.
So master bedroom organize, and then maybe it's the rec room next. I'm going to organize and then go through that. And that's usually quicker if I'm only doing one thing. But generally my personality, I like to do thorough and then move on, but you don't have to do it that way. So it's just kind of tweakable. And you asked like what low stress chores are. For me, I really find doing it this way is low stress, really. I'm still doing the chores, but it's like, I don't have to be like, oh my gosh, I have to do that on Monday. And if I don't do it, I'm going to be behind in this and this and this and this. It's just like, our house is never perfect in all areas at all times anyways, but at least there's still movement in taking care of the home.
It almost makes you think you could do you could do the big loop like that and have a mini loop that you're also doing at the same time, really. We had, when our kids were young, I would do an area, kind of the same thing, the fly lady system, where each week of the month I would focus on a different area of the house. What I find now is, because there's only three of us living at home, and you know, things still will always migrate towards chaos. I mean, that's, you have to, like the rest of life, you have to kind of manage. Right. And I think that that's something we have to get used to when we run a family. Like, it's going to take constant management in order to keep things, you know, it's like, you can't just clean up the house and it's going to stay that way. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. If only.
Yeah. For me, I do that by the week now, because things take a lot less time. But if I don't do them at all, it'll go crazy. So, you know, on Monday, I do one area, Tuesday, I do another area, and spend 15, 20 minutes kind of keeping on top of it. So the different seasons of your life, that will change too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay,
if a week got missed because I was sick, you know, no biggie, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the nice thing about the loop kind of system or idea is that, like you said, you know, if less people start leaving my house as my kids get older, I'm just going to be quicker at those loops, right? Yeah. And right now I'm super slow, and I'm going to be even slower as soon as this baby comes. And that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Being okay with it is such an important part of the puzzle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being okay with it. Yeah. So number three, Blitz tidying routinely or as needed.
Yes.
So blitz tidying, define that for us.
So blitz tidying is essentially a chunk of time that you go nuts untidying. Because sometimes we need that. And sometimes I'm just like, oh, that is really driving me nuts. Like, Zach, can you take the kids to the in-laws? It might be like that. It might be like, you know, take the kids out of the house and I just really want to do like downstairs and just like a chunk of time to just focus on tidying or cleaning or whatever you're doing. Or as a family too, we used to do it. I used to call it Blitz Tidy Friday. We would come home from homeschooling co-op or swimming, and Friday mornings come home and do a bunch of like tidying up together, the whole home, just tidying. We focused on tidying that time, but it's just really just a focused time. And you just kind of go area by area and go nuts, whatever you want to do with it, cleaning or organizing or tidying or whatever. And I like doing that in different seasons of like our homeschool life, because sometimes it's needed. Like if we have a really busy week, just out of the house, you know, seeing friends at homeschool co-ops or whatnot, it's like, okay, Saturday morning, we're all going to like hunker down. We're going to turn on some music, have some snacks in between, and we're just going to tidy up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's nice things for kids to just recognize that needs to be done. Sometimes we would usually take a day off of school, do a similar thing, but we take the day off and I would say, you know, okay, we're all going to go for ice cream after, we're all going to go to the beach after, you know, we're going to put in our 2-3 hours and really get this, back to normal. And then go do something fun, you know, which is just pulls the kids into sort of like we have to get the work done and then the fun happens, right? And that's the reality of life, that we have to get the work done and then the fun happens.
Yes.
And you have the fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm constantly saying I'm constantly saying to the kids, or very often, you know, we're called to work. We are called to rest and play. Like we need to do all of them. We can't just, you know, sit around, read a book all day, although we would all love to do that, you know, or watch TV or whatever. But we need to have that balance. So yeah, I'm definitely saying that to the kids too. I do want to like interject here too and say, like, we have some neurodiversity in our family, and even just having boys. I was a teacher, and yes, like my daughter is like me. She really enjoys cleaning and tidying and helping and stuff. And the boys are very busy. They'd rather be out mowing the lawn and like doing that kind of stuff. So whenever we are tidying up or doing things together, taking care of the home, I often have to be there physically with them and encourage them on and remind them, like, you know, this amount of time. And sometimes we have to use timers or like little motivators in between each task, and different personalities too, right? Exactly, yeah. So it's never like perfect. I just wanted to encourage the listeners too that, you know, it's never perfect, but it is worthwhile to keep working on it. It is really hard work to help our children to learn these skills and habits.
It's, in a sense, it's easier just to do it all ourselves. Yeah. Right? The kids cleared out one day a week and we just, you know, we'd have tidier homes because we could take care of it. But it is important for us to take the time. And the physical presence too. I found that with our family as well, that me being there was a really important part of the cooperation, right? And that stands to reason, you know?
Yes. And it's less frustrating when we are there too, because if we're, I know for myself, if I remove myself and I'm like, hey, you have to do this, I come back, it's not done. Exactly, but I also know better. I'm like, I know better. I know like child development. I know how their brains work. You know, if they have some neurodiversity, but it definitely always goes better together.
Yeah. And you're coaching them as you do it too, don't you find? Because I mean, if I was with my kids and we were in the same room or the same area of the house and I saw them sort of standing there frozen or getting distracted, I would say, give them something really specific to do. Like, why don't you pick up all the red things, you know, or whatever, just to get them, kind of keep them going, keep them tracking, right? Whereas they're like, woohoo.
Yeah, exactly. No, and definitely on the specific task thing too. Like some of my kids really need it broken down really, really small, like literally this little inch in the room, do that little inch. So it's really good to be aware of that too.
I have to tell you something that one of my daughters, and she was a bit older, she was sort of 11 or 12, 13 maybe even, and she had a hard time with the bigness of a task. If I said, can you tidy the kitchen or can you tidy?
Yes.
She would just sort of freeze, right? And some other kids, I could say, can you tidy the kitchen? And they would just do it. They just sort of knew what had to be done. I had to break it down. I would say, okay, see this 12 inches of counter space, put everything that's on it where it goes, and then wipe that 12 inches and then move on to the next 12 inches. And so, but I wouldn't even tell her that. I would just say, do this and then tell me you're done. She would do it. And then we'd move on to the next 12 inches. So for some kids, you really, really have to break things down like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we should never make the mistake of expecting that they just should know, right? Because it doesn't help anybody, right? It doesn't really help anybody. Just coach, right?
Yes, exactly. And that's why many of us grow up and we're like, home management, chores. I don't know how to do any of this. This is my life, right?
That was totally me. We talked about this. Yeah, my parents
were did.
Pack rats. And I had no idea how to keep a house. Not a clue.
Yeah.
Took me a long time, actually, to, you know, a lot of soul searching, really. And reading a lot of books. And where were you, Kelly? Where was the Instagram?
Hey, I was there too. I had to do the research too. Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so next one is commit to simple daily planning. So tell us what that kind of looks like for you.
So that is essentially, so in relation to the home, because, you know, we can plan for lots of things like homeschool schedules and work schedules and all the stuff. But for home specifically, I have a very simple system that I use every day. Is I have my number one priority. For instance, today is, let me flip to it. I already did it. Yay. Today's
this is almost bedtime for you.
Yes, that's right. I did the main hallway, just the baseboards. I wanted to get that done today. Priority number one. My loop chore, I always have a line for the loop chair. What am I going to do for that? I had literally just my master closet wipe the shelves. That was it. And then so I have a priority number one, a loop chore spot. It's usually something small like that. And then I have three spaces for anything else I'd like to get done, but I'm not like super tied to them if I don't. For instance, today I had work on carpet shampooing a chair that I found on the side of the road from someone up the street. So, you know, I've met the people before. and wipe under the kitchen sink and wipe basement floors, which was only like five little spots. So I did all that today. But yeah, priority number one, loop chore, and then three spaces for anything. Those are like the extra, this is not daily chores. So that's
this is something you print off, like one for every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So by simple planning, I just mean like make a system for yourself and then write it down and then see how it goes and then tweak it for what works for you every day. And like things like daily chores are, they're not written down because I know it is done daily in our home. That is priority. But yeah, that's what I do for the home for simple planning.
Okay. When we get to the end of the seven strategies here, I would like to just talk about the daily things and sort of how your recommendations for keeping on top of that. Because I think a lot of people would say, wiping my basement floor, my baseboards, I can't even get the laundry done.
Yeah. So,
you know, I think that would be, if you have a few minutes, we could address that.
For sure.
Great. Yeah. Okay. So number five, you have used chore habits for less effort chores.
Yes. So what I mean by that is that when we make chores a habit, certain chores, we don't have to think about them as much and they become in many ways easier. So I'll give you one example. After I do my morning chores in my bedroom, which is very simple stuff too, you know, flip down my bed and one of them is bring down the laundry at the end of it. So at the end of my morning chores every day, I bring down my laundry and I turn it on. I don't have to think about it because I just do it. And the kids do it as well. Like my olders are 10 and 12. So they bring it down. Some days I have to remind them, of course. I'm like, hey, do you guys want underwear this week? Well, don't forget probably to bring down your laundry. Yeah. That's a good motivator for them. But yeah, so it's a habit because I do it every single morning and I don't have to think about it. It's not much effort. It wasn't always that case though. I just, you know, when I was doing all of our routines in our home, I was really thinking about where could I put this? Where can I make it a habit? And where does it make sense to put it? I just kept practicing and practicing and practicing until it just was there and it's just done and it's not. You know,
it's like brushing
a chore, quote unquote.
You don't even think about it, right?
Right.
You're brushing your teeth or washing your face. You just
grab
that laundry basket and take it down the stairs. And it's that simple. But I found it sounds like you too, that attaching new habits to other things was always really good for me.
Yeah.
So that I could actually remember to do the thing.
Yeah. Those habit stacking.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, that's awesome. So then you have commit to a weekly planning session. So we have our daily planning session, the couple of things we do. What does your weekly planning session look like for you?
So it doesn't really take me that long, but I'm just going to refer to in regards to the home because there's, like I said, there's so many other areas. But for the home, like if I'm doing a weekly planning session, I will sit down and I will say, what are the priorities for this week that we need to focus on in the home? And then it kind of just flows into the daily things that I pick to do. Right. So our focus right now is we're getting a renter in a week. So for the past while, the biggest focus was on, we have to finish painting her room or something. So I have to keep that in mind when I'm writing down my daily tasks and chores. I wasn't doing the paintings like Zach was doing it, but I'm doing things like clean the paint drips off the floor in her room, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Every day. Some of the other things that might be in that would be like, you know, drop off library books. I guess that's not a house chore, but it's still like an errand we have to do. I could keep talking about how I do my weekly. Yeah, for the home, it's a little easier because it's just like, what do we need to focus on this week? Mm-hmm. And because I do the loop chores too, that's kind of ongoing. So I know where I am. But it's like the stuff on the side, like preparing a room for a renter, that would be, I have to be thinking about.
That's a priority this week.
Yeah.
Okay, so question, do you do your, you know, school planning, other planning all at the same time in your weekly planning?
Pretty much. I try to do it. I try to do it around the same time because my mind is already there, but homeschool planning right now, I mean, it's summer, but that's varied. I used to have Saturday mornings that I did it and I really liked doing it then because I was a little fresher than Friday afternoon and like, my brain was mushy. But Saturday morning, I usually like to do all the planning with like a cup of tea and stuff. I find the kids are calm on Saturday mornings with, you know, for some reason. I usually like to do it all at once.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. And then the last thing you have here is create a plan B chore routine. So tell us what you mean by that.
So what I mean by that is that we all have hard seasons, hard days. And sometimes we just can't even do we can't even do like our basics that we like to do every day. So having a plan B is really important to have so that you know you're going to get through the day, even if the house is messy. And for ours, for instance, it's meals, laundry, and dishes. So as long as the meals are figured out, as long as we get the laundry on and the dishes cleaned, you know, everything else will probably be a bomb, but at least things will keep flowing and the things that we need to get done to help us thrive, to have clean clothes and to have food. And this kind of thing, for instance, the plan B, I used when I had a really difficult year 2 to 3 years ago. I can't even remember now, for probably 6 or 7 months, just like it was really hard. And that's what we really leaned into for all those months. And it was really difficult because I do enjoy doing chores. Yeah. I do enjoy like taking care of the home and helping everyone. But we really leaned into that. And also having a newborn baby, that's absolutely a time to have a plan B. And maybe in that plan B too, you might work in like, okay, Saturday mornings is a blitz tidying time whereby, you know, my in-law might come and watch a couple of the kids or hang out with them and whatnot. That might be integrated into that plan B time too, because I do get to breaking point, even in a plan B. I'm like, okay, we need to do something. But at least in the meantime, you've got something in place to be like mentally, okay, meals, laundry, dishes, or whatever it is for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Your really basic stuff. Same as homeschooling. You know, you just, when you have a tough season, you cut it right down to
the bare minimum.
Okay. That's really interesting because I'm just going to throw this out there. And I hope I don't, you know, offend the people who would just be horrified by this, but like for me, plan B, paper plates, I'm okay with having breakfast and lunch with paper plates. And sometimes I would just make sandwiches and serve them on a napkin or whatever. Like if I can eliminate 2/3 of the dishes, then, you know, that was a great plan B for me in those seasons. And I remember a mom years ago saying to me, I said something about, oh yeah, we're going to use paper. It's going kind of a paper plate week. And she said, you know, you have permission from me to use paper plates whenever you feel like it.
Like, yes.
Okay. I'm going to roll with that.
It's so funny what we tell ourselves. I actually recently, probably 3 months ago, I've been thinking about it forever. For years, I was like, I want one set of dishes for each of us, like plate, bowl, spoon, fork, cup, everything. I just never, like, I tried it and it would never stick. Well, it stuck this time.
Oh, awesome.
And I tell you, we rarely ever have bombs in our kitchen ever. And we used to every day, all the time, because there was just, we just kept using all the plates. And we had, you know, way more than enough.
Yeah.
And this way, like if we run out of bowl, it's just like, you got to hand wash one quickly. And it's been working so much better. It really helps.
Yeah. That's amazing. So we have 6 or 7 minutes left. Is that enough time to sort of spend on talking about kind of getting the basics done and streamlining your life in such a way that you can stay on top of the basics? And I'm laundry, you know, laundry, meals, kitchen,
Kitchen, just those. I mean, I can share like how I attack it or
it's a good idea because, you know, the more ideas we have, right, the more we have to choose from when we are in crisis mode. Yeah.
I don't know. I'll try to keep it simple. We'll see. Yeah.
So I would say how do you manage the basic things and to stay on top of those? Because say for the kids, for the listeners that have 3-year-old and a 2-year-old and a brand new baby or something like that, we're staying on top of just those basics, laundry, dishes, meals. How do you do that? So what have you done in your life to kind of streamline those basics?
So for meals, the meals one is pretty quick to explain. Meals, we do the same breakfast pretty much every morning, except for the weekends because my husband's home. We'll make pancakes Sunday mornings, Saturday mornings, usually something else. But Monday to Friday, we do a breakfast buffet. Now my youngest is 4, but breakfast buffet is basically a variety of ingredients and the kids make their own concoctions based on like oatmeal or cream of wheat. Maybe there's cereal there. If I had younger kids, so it's a little bit easier. So they just basically go and fruits and stuff and bananas. And they're like, I want bananas with milk and almonds or something or whatever.
And so they're just putting it on top of their cereal.
Yep. And they make it. And then we just don't have to think about it. Awesome. And one of my kids puts pickles on his oatmeal. And every time I'm like, but okay, like go for it. You know, you're old enough to make that. You're the age of reason already. So go for it. So that's what we do for breakfast every morning. I love it. They're so good. Like, I love them. The breakfast bowls that we eat. Yum, yum, yum.
And for lunch, skip the cereal and just have the fruits and nuts or whatever. Yeah.
Absolutely. Easy. Yeah. And that's also our snack cupboard. It's like, you're hungry, go get like nuts or dried fruits or something from the breakfast, you know, that area. And then for lunches, we do picky plates. Picky plates is just finger foods. Okay. It's not like foods for picky eaters or anything. So we do picky plates. It's the same idea. It's like we have a variety of fruits and vegetables and grains and proteins and fats, good like avocado or nuts or whatever the day is. And then I usually do it because otherwise, it'll take forever, even for my 12-year-old to put them together. Sometimes I put it in one big plate and just have like a balanced plate and tell the kids to eat in a circle. I'm trying to teach them that. Oh, and boiled eggs. We do that some days too, because those are quick and they all like them. Mm-hmm. And then Wednesdays, we do like boxed mac and cheese. And Fridays, we do cold pizza slices instead of picky plates. It's like $3 for $5, these cold slices nearby. Right. And I'm like, it's a great day to do that. But yeah, we just basically have a system in place for breakfast and lunch. It makes it so easy. I don't have to think about it at all. I just have to make sure we always have lots of like ingredients on hand, food, like good food anyways on hand. And then suppers are the ones that we'll have more planned. You know, Mondays are usually like fish, vegetables, and like rice or a grain or something. And sometimes there's variations in them. Sometimes I make like tuna burgers, or there's broiled fish. And then Tuesdays is usually like tacos or nachos or something with veggies. And so basically a theme for every night for meals. Right. And then I just take a look at our grocery list and top it up when we run out of stuff, but we pretty much eat similar foods all the time.
Right.
So it's really simplified that for us, but I still get stumped sometimes. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I have a system in place and I have to remind myself to go back to it.
Yeah. So the meal's finished. How do you keep up with the dishes?
Good question. So this one really depends on how many people are in your family. It's going to look different and different sizes of family. So for instance, when I had 2 and 3 kids, by the end of the day, I would load the dishwasher on and turn it on, and that would be great. And it would work for the most part. I always had a crutch, or I always had issues with doing hand washing of big dishes, though. I did not like doing them. It was just one task I didn't like doing that my husband didn't mind doing. But if I didn't remind him, he just wouldn't remember. And so they would just sit there for a long time. So that wasn't very effective.
Right.
But as long as like I reminded him, it was fine. But for the most part, you know, just load the dishes at the end of the day, unload them in the morning, start fresh. That was great. Until, like I said, probably between the 3rd and 4th kid, we kept up with that system, but, you know, kept doing the system, but we couldn't really keep up with it. And I never really thought about it. And we were just always like, oh, there's always so many dishes on the counter. This is just what it is. It's a season of life, you know, just kept saying that to myself and never really thinking about it until this year. So I probably had been doing that for 4 years, 3 years without really just slowing down and being like, is there a way to make this easier or simpler? You know, sometimes we just keep going and moving and we just don't really see the bigger picture. That's why it's nice to chat with other, you know, parents that are into this kind of thing, because they can see it. And look, I talk about this all the time, and it took me 3 years to figure it out. So we were probably running the dishwasher 1.5 times, and it just like, there was no rhythm. There was no routine. It was just like, and we weren't unloading consistently because everything was inconsistent with when the dishwasher was filled versus before. It was like the end of the day, it's filled up, turn it on, unload it in the morning. So, it was earlier this year, and we were already chatting about this a little bit, but it was earlier this year that I was like, how can I reduce the amount of dishes? I tried like using dish bins, mm-hmm. you know, putting all the dishes in a dish bin, because maybe that visually will reduce it. Maybe it'll keep it tidier. But no, I found we were still overflowing dish bins. And the problem was still there. It looked a little better, but it was still there. There was just always stuff on the counters. Right. So then I started to install the, I'm going to try one set of dishes for each of us. At the time, my dad was living with us too. So he was included. Yeah, so seven. And my husband's like, oh, I don't know about this. And I was like, give us some time. We're going to see how it works. And sure enough, there are some times we do have to hand wash a few plates or whatnot, but it is getting the kids a little more involved. Or I do it because it doesn't take that long to hand wash like a few dishes if we're short by the end of the day. But it's nice because we have really small sinks. We have two sinks side by side, but they're like really shallow and stuff. Right. Even most of the dishes still can fit in there because it's not like 30 plates or what, however many we used to have before, which I kept. They're still up in the cupboard for when we break plates or we host. I can just pull them out, no problem. It's been working so well. And for the most part, we usually don't run out of dishes. It's just once in a while if we're home,
right?
Like a lot in a day. And if we're having like, you know, a bowl of soup and a bowl of cereal or whatever in the morning, then we might have to hand wash them. But it's been working really well. And our counters aren't really huge bombs anymore. It's more of like a prep space versus waiting to get into the dishwasher space or hand wash space. We still have like hand wash dishes, but now it's like, it's just less overwhelming visually. Mm-hmm. And it takes way less time for us. So that took me a long time to even to try. And it's just working so well for us right now that I can't foresee us going back to anything else because it's just way less overwhelming and easier to keep the kitchen clean too.
Yeah, for sure. Like limiting clothes so that they, laundry's less work.
Exactly.
So question about that, does each person have their own particular plate or is it just one plate per person and then it never gets sort of overloaded because there's just one bowl or plate or whatever per person?
I didn't want to go and spend money and like separate. I was like, I love that idea because that's, you know, a cute organization thing, but I'm just like the number of plates, the number of bowls kind of thing. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's super smart. Yeah, because you just wouldn't get backed up. You can't. It's not possible.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
And if you're hosting dishes or whatever are way up out of the way, then, you know, or put somewhere where they're not convenient, then you're just way less likely to
exactly. They're in behind like a big basket and like you really have to really want one to get one. So
right. Okay. Oh, that's awesome. Okay. So then the last thing, the bane of all our existence, of course, how do you keep laundry flowing smoothly?
Oh my goodness. Laundry is ever present and ever faithful, ever true. I'm sure I said that before. It's always there. So our laundry, well, like I said earlier, you know, I bring down my laundry from our master bedroom every morning and put it on. Now my kids, older kids, like I mentioned, are 10 and 12, but when they were younger, I would do their laundry, right? Of course, because they couldn't do it, but they would, you know, do something, press the buttons or whatever, you know, so at least they're involved some way. We bring down our laundry in the morning, we turn it on. Whoever gets to the washer first, whether it's me or my boys, sometimes we combine it if there's not enough for one wash.
Right.
And we just turn it on in the morning. We each have like a basket in our bathrooms. The kids have their own bathroom and we have one in the master. Just bring it down, turn it on. And then lunchtime, we either hang it outside if it's nice or throw it in the dryer if it's not nice or if we're just busy or we're backed up a bit, you know, because of if we're not home,
right?
You know, early appointments or whatever in the morning where we have to let go of that routine. And that's really it. And the boys, they, and even Josie, who's 4, she will help like hang clothes. She will help put clothes into a dryer. Yeah. It's very slow going, of course, with a 4-year-old, but I'm like, you're going to help, you know, you need to learn this too and like enjoy it. And yeah. And sometimes she, you know, okay, I'm done now. I'm like, no problem. Like I'll finish it and then done.
I know.
So that's what we do for like those, and then bringing, so our laundry is on the main floor. And then whenever a basket's full, I bring it upstairs in the hallway, and I do the sorting. And by sorting, I mean throwing it into the appropriate room.
Right.
They're all our rooms, doors are close to each other, like upstairs, okay, which is nice. And I'm like, throw. I've tried many times to get them to sort, but none of them are very good at sorting, and it takes forever. Even my husband, he's like, who is this? I'm like, don't you know to notice somebody wearing that? I mean, Josie's obvious because she's the only girl, but, or my stuff, but yeah, I'm just like, I don't mind sorting. So I will sort and throw it into the appropriate rooms, and they put their clothes away usually every morning during their morning routine.
Okay.
Which I do as well. Like I sort the clothes and then put away clothes every morning. And usually, because laundry can be really intimidating if you have a lot, excess, usually I'll do some maintenance decluttering. But what I mean is I've done like big purges of clothing or decluttering, but when I'm putting clothes away, I'm looking for clothes that are really dirty that the stains won't come out of, or holes, or we have too much of, which can happen often because people give us stuff all the time. So that would be a great time to also like quickly do like a declutter and get rid of a shirt or two that way. So that's pretty much what we do for laundry right now. But again, when I had younger kids, it was just all me, and it was less clothing because I didn't have four kids at that point.
And the clothing is smaller, so more fits
in. Smaller.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the two.
Oh, and I don't fold. I don't do any folding. So that's an important one to note too. We just like the master bedroom, we hang off season stuff. We hang like winter because the kids don't touch it. It's just like hung, but pretty much like my 4-year-old and 7-year-old, they just have 3 drawers. It's like underwear, shirts, bottoms, and they put it in. I don't care if it's folded or not. Yeah. And same with my 10-year-old, and he hangs some stuff like his church shirts and church pants and stuff, but we're pretty quick with that too, with putting clothes away, everybody.
Yeah. It's interesting because we have centralized laundry, as we've sort of chatted about before, but we hang most things, you know, there's not very much that gets folded and put away. And that goes for my kids and me. When the kids were home, I just find it was so much easier to, like, even t-shirts, slip them on a hanger and hang rather than folding them and putting them away.
Definitely.
And then you can see them, right? So they're not getting messed up all the time. So so that worked for us. So there's a couple of things we'll wrap up in a minute, but there's a couple of things that really stand out to me over and over again about what you've been saying. And those two things are consistent routine and consistent presence. And I think that that's really a recipe for success, right? When you think about it in that way, that I'm just going to keep working on building the routine. I'm just going to keep being with them as they're growing and learning and understanding and learning how to take part in this, even though that takes more time in the long run. It's such good formation, not just for how to do laundry, but for how to teach someone something. Right? Mm-hmm. How to be with somebody, how to support them, how to be the cheerleader, right? And I mean, you do that for us, for your followers and your Instagram people and all that. You know, you're a cheerleader, and that's so, it's just so encouraging, you know. So those two things are what I'm hearing over and over again. And so that's definitely a recipe for success. So obviously it's working for you, and to not be afraid to reevaluate, right? You know, because obviously that's something that you're doing all the time too. Like, oh, okay, this is not really working. So let's reevaluate. And all of life is like that, not just our housework, you know? So thank you so much for just being that sort of presence and cheerful encourager for all of us. It's just so good for us. So I just want to say congratulations when baby arrives sometime in the next few days, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be praying for you, and God bless you. Thank you so much for sharing this with us.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, take care.